Good morning. So I'm going to start today by talking about our validation of NHSN dialysis event data in Tennessee. To begin with some background, Tennessee dialysis facilities have been reporting dialysis events to NHSN since July of 2012. And NHSN dialysis event reporting includes three specific types of events: positive blood cultures, outpatient IV antimicrobial starts, and pus redness or increased swelling at the vascular access site. We chose to validate NHSN data reported to NHSN for the first half of 2014. And to provide a little context, we had done a project in our state that Dr. Kano will be discussing actually after I finish, that had gave us some concerns about underreporting of dialysis events. So that was one motivation, as well as work from other states like Colorado and their validation of dialysis events. So we aimed to validate a 20% sample of our Tennessee dialysis facilities. At the time we had 152 facilities, so we aimed to visit 30. Because we were concerned about underreporting of dialysis events, and in particular positive blood cultures, we decided to kind of have two arms for our selection strategy. We selected 14 facilities among the facilities in Tennessee that had reported zero positive blood cultures during that six-month period we were looking at. And then we selected 16 additional facilities at random among anyone who hadn't been selected. For our medical record selection strategy, and I'll mention from this point onward, we basically followed the CDC evaluation toolkit that they have for dialysis event data. So we requested that each facility supply five lists to us prior to our site visit. The first list was all patients who had received treatment at least one time in their center during the six-month period we looked at. And then the subsequent list looked at potential dialysis events as well as hospitalization, so any positive blood cultures, IV antimicrobials, pus redness or swelling at the vascular access site, and any hospitalization during that six-month period. And just to keep in mind, this is only the patients that the facility did recognize as having these potential events. From those lists, we tried to use the selection strategy from the CDC toolkit, which was to select all patients from list 2 through 5. So if you remember, those are the patients with the potential dialysis events, plus a 10% random sample of the remaining patients. However, we found at some facilities this identified more than 30 patient records, and we just knew we would have trouble looking at that many patient charts. We wanted to limit our visits to just a single day at the facility, so we chose to limit our patient selection to 30 patients. So we modified the strategy a little bit. First, we prioritized patients who were on the list that had potential dialysis events over those patients that were just hospitalized during our period. And then if that wasn't enough, we prioritized patients who appeared on those lists 2 through 5 the greatest number of times. Facilities generally gave us these lists with how many hospitalizations the patient had or how many positive blood cultures, so we were able to prioritize that way. And then at every facility, we were sure to select at least 3 patients who didn't appear on any of those lists with potential events, just because we wanted to cover those that the facility maybe hadn't identified beforehand. After we received that information from the facility and selected patients, we conducted an on-site record review at each facility. And to do that, we had to look at a lot of different documentation for each patient's medical record, and we reviewed all their charts for that six-month period. So instead of just investigating one dialysis event, we actually looked for every single patient. We followed them through that six-month period to look for any of those potential dialysis events. We looked at visit flow sheets, medication administration records, lab records, nursing and doctor notes and documentation, as well as hospital records. One thing we did pay close attention to was when the patient was present for visits at the facility and if there were any gaps. So they had missed a visit, we followed up to see if the patient had been hospitalized and then looked at the primary reason for that hospitalization, because often positive blood cultures were collected when the patient was hospitalized or in the emergency department. So that was one way we tried to further investigate those. Hospital records were a challenge to obtain sometimes if we noticed that the reason for hospitalization was maybe suspicious for a positive blood culture. We often had to ask the facility to obtain additional hospital records if what they had on site wasn't complete. And so to begin with some results, the time for medical record review. This was a pretty intense process, looking over all those records for 6 months. In the beginning, it took even up to 40 minutes per patient, but over time, this definitely decreased as our staff gained familiarity with the major large dialysis organizations. They use the same software system, and once you learn it, it goes much faster. So we brought that down to about even close to 10 minutes per record by the end of our work. In total, we reviewed 790 patient charts and identified 272 patients that had at least one reportable dialysis event during the six-month time period. And among those patients, we identified 473 dialysis events. And I'd like to point out that almost a third of those events, 131, had not been reported to NHSN. So we were quickly pretty concerned about underreporting of dialysis events. To look in this a little more carefully, these are unreported dialysis events, so at least 90% of our facilities had at least one unreported dialysis event that we found, so 27 out of 30, with an average of 4.4 events, unreported events per facility, and you can see the breakdown between the different event types on this slide as well. We also looked at the difference between our selection strategy, facilities that were selected due to not reporting any positive blood cultures versus the facilities selected at random, and this wasn't too different. When we look at underreporting and we break it down by dialysis event type, you'll see that IV antimicrobial starts, so the blue bars are that events that were reported, so 82% of our IV antimicrobial starts had been reported to NHSN. And pus redness and swelling, a little bit lower, but still a majority of those events had been reported. But positive blood cultures, as we suspected, was where we were finding the majority of the underreporting. And so we dug into that a little more closely because this was a concern we had going into the project. And we were curious about the best ways to identify these patients that had these missing positive blood culture results that weren't being reported to NHSN. So bear with me for a minute. This is all positive blood cultures we found, that's the bar in blue, and the unreported positive blood cultures in red. And now we're going to look into those different reasons we selected the patient for review. So when we compare selecting the patient because they had an IV antimicrobial start during the six-month period compared to the patients that had been hospitalized during the six-month period, here you'll see the percent of the colored bar is how many of those events that we found. So in blue, again, we're seeing all positive blood cultures. So for example, patients that were selected because they had an IV antimicrobial start during the six-month period, we found 53 of the 72 positive blood cultures identified overall by selecting based on that strategy. Whereas if we looked at patients who were selected because they had been hospitalized during the validation time period, we found 92% of all positive blood cultures and 93% of the unreported positive blood cultures. So you can see here that selecting patients because they were hospitalized is really sensitive. We find almost all of those unreported events. However, when we kind of step back a little bit and look at how many records we're really talking about a third of the patient records we reviewed were selected because they had IV antimicrobial starts during the time period we were looking at. So again, this identified about 60% of the unreported positive blood cultures, whereas over three-quarters of the patient records we reviewed had been hospitalized during the validation time period. So we're talking about a lot more charts to look through, even though we're finding a lot more of the unreported events. So to get a sense of that, if we selected patients based on IV antimicrobial starts, we would find one unreported blood culture for every 9 records we reviewed, compared to 1 per 15 for patients that were hospitalized. So selecting patients based on IV antimicrobial starts is probably a more efficient way to identify these unreported events. To kind of move on, when we looked at the impact that this validation had on the actual data reported to NHSN for these facilities, when we look at the overall positive blood culture rate per 100 patient months within all validation facilities overall, 17 facilities reported a change in their positive vote cultures between after validation occurred, with a rate going from 0.38 to 0.78, which is a 100% increase in those facilities. And when you break it down by the reason that the facilities were selected, we see significant increases. For the facilities that were selected because they didn't report any positive blood cultures, of course, we went from zero, but all the way up to 0.4. And then when we think about the impact that these 30 facilities being validated had on Tennessee's data as a whole on the aggregate, we also saw an increase overall. Positive blood culture rate from 0.55 to 0.63, which was a 14% increase across our state. So I'm going to look a little more carefully at these facilities that actually had a change in their positive blood culture rate. So this is probably a little hard to see, but the facilities are along the side here. And the red dots indicate their positive blood culture rate before validation and the green dot after validation. So you can see not only, these are all the facilities that actually had a change after validation. And you can see how big that impact was. And for some facilities, you can see there's a few that went from zero all the way up to 1.5 for their positive blood culture rate. So a pretty big impact on their data. And the facilities indicated with an asterisk are the facilities that were specifically selected because they hadn't reported any positive blood cultures during that time period. When we consider some reasons for underreporting of positive blood cultures, we really felt that this was probably related to blood cultures that were actually collected outside the facility. So part of the NHSN reporting protocol is that positive blood cultures collected in the emergency department or within the first 2 days of hospitalization need to be reported to NHSN. And this creates a little bit of a barrier with the facility. They have to reach out to the hospital to get that information. During our interviews and talking with the facility, communication with the hospital and access to these full lab results was a challenge. We had to request additional hospital records for 57 of the patients that we reviewed, meaning the facility didn't already have complete hospital records on hand. And we did identify dialysis events in a majority of those patients that we had to request records for. And I also want to add, we first asked the facility themselves to reach out to the hospital and obtain those records and share them with us because we thought it was important for them to make that relationship. But in some cases, we actually had to reach out to the hospital ourselves and get those records. So there was clearly a pretty big barrier for some facilities to get that information. One limitation was that we didn't capture where the blood culture was collected when we were doing our review, and we really regret this. However, as of 2015, NHSN now captures that information with the event record. So we think we'll be able to get a better sense of how often this barrier of these blood cultures that are collected outside the facility, how often that's occurring. During each site visit, we also conducted an interview with the facility administrator, whoever was responsible for NHSN reporting. And part of that interview, we went through the questions. This is from the CDC's guide. So just some general questions. Only 50% had actually read the NHSN dialysis event protocol. A majority had completed some type of NHSN training, and 80% had access to NHSN. And I do want to explain that a little bit. Some of the, one large dialysis organization in particular does all its reporting on behalf of its facilities at a corporate level. So this was often why we would come in and the facility administrator wouldn't really know any of the specifics of NHSN reporting. So we encountered that. And kind of moving off of that, we specifically asked several questions about the collection of denominator data, and 77% of the respondents did not know how to report denominator data correctly, and some of the big reasons for this were that they didn't know which days of the month to use to count patients. 55% didn't know the appropriate method to determine which vascular access category to report a patient into. Some other just general trends we saw was, like I mentioned, the corporate collection and entry of NHSN data, so that process actually happening outside of the facility. And overall, even for facilities who had someone on site entering and submitting their data, they often relied on computer-generated reports that came from corporate for both numerator and denominator data, and didn't really know what data sources were being used or exactly how those reports were being generated. So even as we were asking some questions about the protocol, they weren't sure how it was being applied for the reports they were using to report to NHSN. And just to talk briefly about some of our lessons learned, early on in the project, we collaborated with our ESRD network, and that was a really great relationship. They joined us for the first few visits, and that really built a good relationship with the facilities and a great starting point for the project. We also met regional staff, so the large dialysis organizations are kind of structured in a regional way, and we would meet an educator who was over several facilities in the area. So one thing that was really exciting is we trained that one person who then went out and spread the word to their other facilities, so that was nice to see our work spread. Communication with the facility is really important, especially prior to our site visit, setting up expectations for what records we needed access to, making sure equipment like computers and space is available. As we've heard today, space is an issue in dialysis facilities, so we sent 3 reviewers on each of these visits, and that was often a challenge. And just some notes about scheduling, making sure that you can coordinate with the facility to schedule on a day that works for them, maybe when they have fewer patients, that sort of thing. So finally, some conclusions. We found that underreporting of dialysis events was a problem, especially positive blood cultures, and we suspect this is primarily related to positive blood cultures collected outside the facility. We talked about some methods for identifying these unreported positive blood cultures. Selecting patients that were hospitalized was really sensitive, but patients with antimicrobial starts might be a more efficient method. And we also saw lots of opportunities to improve training and education on NHSN definitions, and maybe even working with the large dialysis organizations directly to improve those computerized reports so that they're reporting more accurately. And finally, the experience overall was really wonderful in building relationships with our dialysis facilities, and just a wonderful opportunity, and those relationships continue on. And my acknowledgement. So I think I'm going to move right on to my next portion, which goes into how we actually conducted this validation.